Take them back. Let's pray for Susan. I think he's going to stay in church today. Is he, Grams? Yep.
I told him he could either go to class or stay.
Good. Good morning. Okay, well, we're in Hebrews 11. Just seems undauntedly. Hey, what do you got, Tob?
I just want to, I think I was supposed to make it, and Lauren said I was supposed to talk about the agape piece.
You were late.
I know, I was late. Oh, we already did?
It's oh, done did.
All right.
All right, snooze, you lose, man.
That, oh, I'm okay. Oh, absolutely okay.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord. Father God, just be with Susan right now. Pray that nothing's going to hurt. Be with her.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Whew. Okay. Quite a different morning, hey?
Here we go.
Boy, oh, boy. You know, the one thing we really need to understand, I do. I don't know, maybe some of you have a better grasp than I do, but you know, the God that we serve, he's not only the God of the mountaintops with all the cattle and all the good grass and whatever, and he's also the God of the valleys. And he's with us in the fires, he's with us in the floods, he's with us in the death and destruction that's all around us. And if we are in him, like I said before, we are not our own.
Amen.
I mean, there's a depth to that that I haven't yet in my 43 years of following him really come to own. I'd love to. But I know, and no excuses for those of us who are very good at rationalization, there is no excuse for not glorifying him completely in our lives. Amen. Other than it might be inconvenient at the point for me. I think the section that we're in today, God has been working Pat and I over, me especially. This is a point I never thought I was going to come to in my calling here, my blessing. I thought they would take me out of the ranch feet first. And I always prayed like Della's pastor that he would die in the pulpit, and that man stepped from the side of the pulpit to give a point one day and had a heart attack right here, and boom, down he went. I thought, what a way to go. You know, please don't come when I'm in the midst of throwing things around the ranch and screaming and yelling. So we all have a little tuning up to do in our lives. We know that. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect. But each and every day, we're supposed to try to emulate him. We're supposed to manifest the gift that he has given to us in ways that only we can. Don't try to do it like somebody else. You know, and I watched 30 years of men trying to be Chuck Smith. They're not Chuck Smith. God made one Chuck Smith. God made name another pastor that you might have loved and just listened to. That is one individual that God created. We're not to be like them. God created you and you and you. And if we don't believe that as individuals, these only belong to Doug Gibney, no one else. The faith that lies within each and every one of us belongs to Shannon, belongs to you, Jenny, belongs to you guys, nobody else. We can emulate a little bit. Paul even said, you know, hang around with, and this is paraphrased New York, hang around with those guys that go after the Lord. That's good. If you want to, go ahead and imitate, if you would. Greatest form of flattery ever. But if we imitate anyone, it should be Jesus Christ in all we think and do. So I hope that, you know, that's what God has been pressing me with over the last, well, ever since this stuff started coming down, and I'm trying to grow. But this section that we're in, and like Seth said in a prayer over me this morning, we've been in it for a long time, haven't we? I have no clue how long we've been in, but you know what? It's God's word. We can stay the next 20 years probably on one verse if we wanted to, and what would be wrong?
Amen.
You know, if God's got something to teach us, we need to learn it. He just doesn't push us forward just to get rid of us. Maybe he sits us down. Maybe he brings us back a little bit just so that we can hear more clearly. So let's look at, this is an overview, and I don't mean to take away anything from the rest of all of these heroes of our faith, but it's an overview of these wonderful examples in our faith and what our faith might be able to look similar to and why I would do it the way I'm doing it today if I get going. Is because I feel that what we're going to read are examples of victories over, if you would use that word, our situations, and victory in our situations. There's a big difference, and we see that. So let's just see what these verses, and especially 35 through 40, and Tom, maybe you could write that in. I know you write dates when I start. I have never jumped ahead in verses, have I? I don't think so. But you can put that one in because I feel it's God. So the section that we're going to look at here today, I honestly feel that the latter half of it is what most of us sitting in this building, and most of Christians that are out there today, these are things that are going to be more common in their lives than the first half of what I'm going to read. And it's one that is not very popular within the Christian realm. It's something that I'll go ahead and expose. It's the TV, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. They seem to leave out this part for some reason. Oh, if there's something wrong in your life, you must have sin in your life, brother, or sin in your life, sister. And if that was true, I'd be dead today. If that's what it all boiled down to. They leave this part out. This is part of the heroes of our faith. And I hope it shapes each and every one of us from this point forward today. So we're in Hebrews 11. We left off with Gideon. Oh, you mighty man of valor, remember? Just a coward. So 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson. Now, I pray Seth is going to detail some of these. I will again, possibly. These are flawed Christians, just like you and me. Flawed Christians that God used so mightily that they're in a book that has withstood the test of time and is going to continue until the day we stand face to face. Look at Gideon, he's a coward. Barak is a coward. He had to have Deborah go to him to war. And Samson was filled with lust. Jephthah was an illegal child. David was a king that was a murderer, a liar, everything. You just go on and on. Samuel, a great prophet, one of the judges, one of the prophets, and one of the last ones. Prophets, guys who would rather die than lie in their lives. Wow, I mean, that just jumped at me this week. Who, verse 33, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. We all know this, you know, Daniel and everything. They quenched in 34 the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women. All of a sudden in 35, if you notice, we take a turn. There's no more names here. These are the unsung, the unnamed heroes, if you would, of the faith. And I feel God's done that, not only because Paul didn't have time to continue on and on and on in this letter, that he was trying to encourage these Christians at this time who just converted from Judaism to endure. It's going to be tough, guys. We got to make it. Look at these examples. Look towards them. Study them. Find out what made them tick. And, you know, the answer is so easy. It was God. God, period. Jesus, period. The Holy Spirit, period. Nothing else. Wasn't their might, wasn't their strength, wasn't their intellect, wasn't their standing. But he changes in 35. Women receive their dead raised to life. Well, we can find one, can't we, in the Old Testament. But please look at this, that you today might be required in God's order to be one of these unnamed heroes of faith at this time, because there will come a time. I don't want my name in a book. I've got one in the office there, the Book of Doug, and it's, you know, it's a comedy thing. I don't want my name in a book. I want my name to come off the lips of my Savior when he says, Doug, because I think it's not going to be just, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on, we need more. Well done, good and faithful Pat, you good, faithful sir. Tommy, you know, Kat. He's going to name us and say, that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. Man, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others, is that others? You know, it was William Booth on his deathbed when he couldn't even talk. And they said, what are we going to do? How can we continue? He wrote down a word on a blackboard that said, others. Others. Not just me, but the others that are out there. And others had trial of cruel mockings. Well, wait a minute now. Does this sound very enticing to become a Christian? That first part was great. Oh, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. Oh, if you would just have faith as a mustard seed, you're going to do that. You're going to stand in front of, you know, stadiums of 50,000 people, and miracles are going to be performed, and things are going to be thrown up on the stage, and wheelchairs are going to roll. That's the stuff that God can do. Don't ever deny that. He can do anything he wants, but are we going to do that and see it? And when we expect that, there comes a point in our life that we think, one, God is not listening to my prayers, or maybe he's just not that powerful. What we're going to hear in these parts is the faith that I know God wants in my heart, that no matter what, Doug, will you still trust me? No matter what, Doug, will you still follow me? Will you still trust me? Because these are the ones that really are the heroes of the faith. 36, they had trial of cruel mocking, scourgings, moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Stop thinking about being worthy to some person out there or some job out there or some boss out there. I want to be worthy to the Lord Jesus Christ, period, amen. That's where our pat on the back should come. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. The promise that you and I right now are standing on the brink of. A time when Jesus Christ will return for his church. A time when the power of the Holy Spirit is more necessary now in our lives than ever before to be able to stand and withstand and not to give in, not to fold, not to give up. God having provided some better thing for us. Think of that. He's got all of these guys and he's thinking about you. I'm not going to fulfill anybody else in this promise until I bring in all the rest of them. And we're all going to celebrate this thing at one point that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Father God, help us to understand. Help us to quiet ourselves with the cries of this world, our own lives, those things that are around us, everything that seems at times to go unanswered or not even heard. Give us the faith for hard times, Father. Show us that suffering, sonship, go together, hand in glove, in Jesus' name. So this is faith for hard times that we're looking at. This is faith that's immovable. It's faith that's unshakable. And I wonder, is mine? I'll answer the question, no. It doesn't take much these days to move me. It doesn't take much these days to shake me. And I feel that I use my circumstance and situation as an excuse to not trust, to flip out, to get annoyed, to get angry, to think terrible things. But that's just my rationalization. That's not my fault. God's just not answering. God doesn't have to answer us. Remember, we volunteered into this service. We were not drafted. Not one of us were brought into the kingdom by our ear. We were brought in by our heart. We asked Jesus Christ, "Here I am. Come take me, Lord. Use me, Lord, as you will. Make me, mold me, shape me." What happened to the Doug of 43 years ago that screamed that out? "Please, please, make me acceptable. Let this be true. Don't let everything I see out here be the end of the story." Well, there's a whole lot more to come. If I endure to the end, I will be saved. It doesn't mean salvation is determinant on endurance, but it's meaning don't. If you just endure, you don't leave, you don't go away, you don't run, you don't whatever, you're going to be saved. I mean, it's a promise. It's a promise from God, not from Doug, not from Craig or Seth or Ted when they get up here and preach, or anybody else. It's a promise of God, and we need to hold that. So these situations that you and I might be experiencing today, I feel are part of what every Christian around this world are facing, maybe even more so, and are going to face. And that's not me, that's God. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10, we'll get rolling here. 1 Corinthians 10, and these are scriptures that all of us, I know, we know them. But for some reason, God just kept cramming me into this little box with these and asking me, "Doug, do you understand this?" So 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 through 13. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples or patterns, and they are written for our admonition, upon the whom the ends of the world are come." It's coming. It's coming. We know that. And everything that's happening, this is normal. It's not like, why is God not doing this for me? Or why isn't he doing that for me? We live in an evil, fallen world that's being controlled, it's being puppeted by Satan to a degree right now in our lives, but the one who controls the whole theater is God. We've got to see that. Wherefore, in 12, "Let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Be careful when the next trial comes into your life, the next testing that can be so serious. You feel like you're going to either question God, or you're going to walk away from God, or your whole momentum just gets put on hold. And you almost feel like you're going backwards a little bit more in your faith than you were. Anybody remember a time when you really felt like, man, God's moving us in like some unbelievable direction? And then all of a sudden it stops a little bit. And you wonder, and you question, and maybe you just go back, and maybe God isn't coming back. Maybe God, maybe that's the way life is. Maybe this, maybe miracles don't. I mean, I see it in my own life, and I see it all around me in the Christians and the people that I talk to. No hope when the hard time comes. Remember I said he's the God of the mountaintop. He's also the God of the valley. He's not just the God to be praised when everything in my life goes according to pattern. Like I said, I was going out of Arapahoe Ranch. JJ was probably going to load me up in the ambulance, I feel, because nobody else would be willing to do that. But my buddy that's been working there, I thought I was going out from Arapahoe Ranch. Not so. What are you doing? I don't need to ask God what he's doing, I realized this week. He's doing something. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But anyhow, this temptation, this thing that's taken Pat and I, this thing that's taken you, because you're in a trial, you're in some kind of an experience right now that maybe you're wondering why. Why is this happening? What's God doing? How come this isn't going on? This is common. It is common to man, but God is faithful. Listen, because we're not all the time. Let's be blatantly honest. We're not always faithful. I know that. Maybe, you know, and I hope I didn't insult anybody with that, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, and that's Jesus Christ, that you might be able to bear it. Do you hear that last part? Oh, God's going to get me out of this. He's going to give me a new job next week. No jobs for a year. You're wondering, where's my next electric bill going to get paid? Oh, look at my health. Oh, Jesus. Well, what if God doesn't heal? He says that I'm giving you a way to bear it. And we miss that part. That means that we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulations. We're going to go through hard times that have no way out except Jesus Christ. And even that isn't the end of the trial. It's just the power to bear through it. Grin and bear it, if you would. And I think that even that is an exercise of our faith. That even if I don't like this, even if I've got to use everything I've got to get through it, I'm going to do it. So what we see right there is in these hard times, be prepared. They're coming if you're not in it already. And how are you going to get through this? The only way is to be one of the others, the unnamed men or women that the Bible talks about. That could be you. That could be me. And I see Christianity today as I look at that, that there's nothing that's come on us. God is faithful. He's not going to tempt you above that which you're able. Pat had a sign in our bedroom there. God won't tempt us above that which we're able, but he'll make us able to get through it. So it was something. All it was it's God. I'm his. What was the last time when you thank God for putting me in this position? And I think that's what he's trying to say, because too many Christians, I feel, are looking for a way out of all of this heartache and all of this trouble instead of a way into the throne room of grace. We're looking for a way into indulgence instead of endurance. And there's a big difference in both of those. Turn to John 16, if you would. If you got to go home and you got a pot roast on, I'm not going to make excuse for the time today. And we might just have a couple more. Write them down. Stick something in there so God can lead you through these and see what he's got for you. John 16, verse 33. He tells us a lot of stuff, but what we don't hear are the hard times. The times when everything goes wrong. We hear, well, you mustn't have enough faith again. Maybe you did something wrong. Maybe you're sinning. Maybe you're doing that. Or God told us that it's not going to be a rose-petaled path, our lives, just because we accepted him. These things in verse 33, read 16, read 15, 14. He told us like seven or eight things that are not very palatable. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. We don't want just the peace to endure much anymore. We want peace, peace, meaning get out of my path. Don't delay me. Kids should never cry, right? Kids should never act up. They shouldn't talk in church, right? Yeah. We don't want peace. What we want is the problem to get out of our way so I can go about my merry little way saying everything's beautiful. Oh, praise God. Praise God. What's the matter with you, brother? Don't you have enough faith? Oh. We're going to see some things in the days to come that we better have this kind of peace. And he's telling you, these things I have spoken that you might have peace in this world, outside that door, and even within this church. Okay? This is part of the world, believe it or not. We have a place to hide, a place to go to every now and then. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. He have overcome the world. Job 13. These things never rang so true as this last week in my little chair that I sit in my bedroom. And I've been reading them over and over and over. Job 13, 15. So troubles are coming. How's your Christianity in trouble is what I'm trying to focus on. How's your witness, your faith, your belief in God? Are you always demanding an answer and God to move right away? How is my faith at that point in time? Or would I be able to speak as, not like Job's wife in Job 2, I think it is, he said, curse God and die. Look what happened. All of his kids got wiped out, his cattle, his farms, everything destroyed. And his wife says, curse God and die. Well, here and other places, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain, I'll prove, is what that word is in the Hebrew, my own ways before him. I don't have to prove my ways before you. I'm here. My laundry's on a line that anybody wants to look at, go ahead and look at it. But I'm going to stand, I'm going to prove my way to God. I'm going to show him I'm trying my best, Lord. And yet, though he slay me, will I trust him. Can we say that? This is unshakable faith. This is immovable faith. Look at Job 23. Every one of us are in one of those situations where it just doesn't seem right. This is wrong. I've trusted you, Lord. Why is this happening to me? And I've said it over and over. Why not you? Why not you? God's strongest battles are given to his strongest soldiers. He doesn't give them to newbies. He doesn't give them right away to somebody who's weak. He gives it to somebody who will stand and show him mighty. But we all have this same problem. And what it says in verse 8 of 23, behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I can't perceive him. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like God's not there? That God's not listening? I've been praying this for 2 days and you haven't answered me, God? I read a story once about a woman who prayed for a husband for 30 years. 30 years, and he finally came. I mean, that's faith. That's endurance. On the left hand in verse 9, where he does work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. It's kind of like dad on a bicycle seat, isn't it? I don't know if any of you had a dad who ever held the back of your bicycle seat, took your training wheels off. I thought that was the worst day of my life when the training wheels came off. What, do you want me to break my neck or something? But dad was holding that bicycle seat and holding it up, and oh boy, you started thinking you're doing great. And then he just let that bicycle seat go, and you were pedaling and pedaling, and you go, ain't I doing great, Pop? Dad, boom, and you're done. That's God. That's God. He doesn't just hold the seat. He's trying to get us ready. But there comes a point where he says, I got to let you go. I got to let you see what this fall is going to be like. I got to see how good you can do on your own. That's exactly what Job is trying to tell us, and God gives us those examples in our family. But he knows the way. The trial's going to end, folks. Either we're going to wind up in heaven, we'll be standing face to face before we know it, or he's going to give us the strength to endure because he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. Gold. How do you do gold, Teddy? You get it in a fire and you heat it up and you melt it and it bubbles and it spits and it pops and poop comes off the top. Can I use the word poop in church? It comes up the top. What is that? Dross. I couldn't think of the word. Scoop it off, throw it away, and you got gold. And that's what God is doing. He's doing that in every one of our lives. He knows the way I'm going. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. The trial will end, guys. But it is part of our Christianity. Maybe we're going to have a couple of great things happen in our life, yeah. But there's also going to be some stuff that God is our only answer. The way we exercise our faith today, not tomorrow. I'm going to start reading tomorrow. I'm going to start praying tomorrow. I'm going to start giving God more trust in my life tomorrow. The way that we exercise each one of us, our faith today, will show us, will prove, it will be the way that we react tomorrow. That's Monday. Not a year from now when maybe we got to leave the ranch or not. Maybe, you know, the way I exercise my faith today is going to determine how I respond to God in situations tomorrow, the next day. Don't wait. I'm asking you. If you're not saved, don't wait. Get saved. Watch what God can do with you. If you're doubting, don't give up. Try to walk the best that we can walk today in that faith, because that's going to be how I am tomorrow. That's why they got boot camp in the services. They train you to be prepared for something that's coming your way. Maybe it won't, but it probably will. That's what God is doing to us. How will I react tomorrow? Can I have one more? I want you to turn to Habakkuk, whatever. That's one of those ones that it's page 1010 in your King James Bible. Habakkuk, there it is. See it? Oh. Just wet them, just a little bit. Suffering and sonship go together. Complaining, questioning God as if he owes me an answer. I think Habakkuk is a beautiful example of who we are, where we are, and what we could do in our trust with our Lord. As it's three short chapters, I'm not going to go through all of those. But if you take this and read it and concentrate on it and just ask God, give me the application, I think we'll see what he's trying to tell us is hard times are coming, guys. Get strong. Get your feet planted on the rock. Don't leave it up to your own expectations. Don't leave it up to your own knowledge, strength, or whatever you might think you learned somewhere. Learn it from him in this word. So that's how Habakkuk starts. He starts complaining in chapter 1, if you're there, in Habakkuk, and I'm not going to read it, but it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, oh Lord, how long shall I cry? I've been crying for 4 years now, okay? Four, not the 74 other ones that I've been crying. You come out of the womb crying. It's because that doctor, what kind of business is that, you know, can't they? But here's Habakkuk, just like us, questioning God when things aren't going right. He's got all of this stuff going on around him. How long shall I cry? Will thou not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and you will not save. Misunderstanding God. And then questioning him wrong is what we've got to be careful of. Is it okay to question God? You bet it is. But don't foolishly charge him. Don't accuse him of certain things. It's okay to question, and I think he will receive any honest, heartfelt question. Why? And then we need to go to, just, we sit around and wait for the verbal. Well, God hadn't answered. Get your nose in the book. Get our knees on the ground. He's going to answer us one way or the other. Behold, in verse 5, among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. This is God talking to us now. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. Why'd you take my baby girl? Why'd you take my dad? Why'd you take my grandpa? Why'd you take my husband? Why'd you take my wife? Why did I get cancer? And God has got something that is secret to him until the day we get there to exalt over us in our faith, and he doesn't owe us an answer. Amen. We need to look at that. He does not owe Doug Gibney an answer for one thing. I gave my life to him. Now I serve him. My goodness. It goes on. So then all of this stuff is going on. In Habakkuk, there was evil at that time. There was no justice at that time. The guilty were going free at this time. And, you know, that's what Habakkuk was complaining to him about. They were going free. Huh?
Sound familiar?
Oh, don't it sound familiar? Good, evil, evil, good. You can do this, this, and this, get off scot-free. But don't you jaywalk. You'll wind up in jail tomorrow. We can build a homeless encampment right in your backyard and put a swimming pool in it, but you better ask permission to paint that door in this HOA.
That's right.
I mean, that's where we are today. Do we see what's happened? Violence was on the rise during Habakkuk's time. Where's God was what everybody was crying. So God gives Habakkuk all this stuff in verse chapter 1 that you'll read. And then all of a sudden in chapter 2, he starts getting a little, you know, a little bit tuned up. He feels that God is maybe going to give him something to work with. And he said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon a tower and will watch to see what he will say to me. Do we understand the connection with God in our lives? Not only to see, but to hear what God says. We see God at work. I hope we do. We hear God when we open this, when we speak in fellowship to one another. And all of a sudden, Habakkuk gets it. I'm going to look and I'm going to listen to what God will say and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables that he may run that reads it. But the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Now listen, it will not tarry. People think God's taking his time, God's tarrying. No, he's not. He just told us the vision's coming. I'm not tarrying. I don't have a tissue either. Thanks. 55 years of marriage, you don't wonder which end she used. You just use it. Behold, verse 4, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. That's the whole theme of Romans, Galatians, Hebrews. That's what God has been trying to tell us. Well, all of a sudden, I think Habakkuk got it. It's like, wait a minute, not everything is going to be okay. Just because I accepted Jesus, my life isn't going to be a rose petal path. I might live in poverty. I might live in rejection. I might have health problems, financial problems. I might have children, loved ones that go to be with the Lord or not. But it's God who's in control. He had an epiphany, if you would, here. So in verse 17, I'll jump to that for time. We see this change that I pray will happen in my heart within the next day or so and keep on going. Because here's Habakkuk, when you read this, remember, he started at the bottom and he ended on the top. And that's where most of us are. So nothing's going well. Everything's wrong. Just like we heard from some of these heroes of our faith when I started, they weren't all miraculous things. Some of them died. Some of them were sawn in half. That's Isaiah, or supposedly. With a wooden saw, they cut the guy in half. Other guys were boiled in oil. Get Fox's Book of Martyrs if you want a book to read and see what people put up with in faith. All of a sudden, old Habby here says, I got it. I got it. And he says, and I hope we can at least move towards this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock will be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Nothing. He's just been devastated as a man who was supposed to be a believer and have faith and everything else. And all of a sudden he comes to this, and we could say, if my check doesn't come in the mail, if they repossess my car, if my house burns down, if one of my loved ones dies, if everything that I put my hand to never succeeds, that's what's being said in 17, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Is he? Is he my strength? Or is it all the worldly stuff that we have set up in our lives that we feel secure? And he will make my feet like hinds feet. You ever watch a deer? We just watched two of them the other day bound through the ranch when we were on the side of a hill. They don't even know that there was a side of a hill there. They're just booking it like crazy, and their feet are so secure, so steady. Says he's going to make my feet like hinds feet. Nothing's going to trip you up. Do you ever feel like You know, you've walked down a dirt hill, haven't you? And rocks give out. We heard that pastor this morning, I think, said it even. And you feel like you're going to fall. Can you imagine walking around with no worries about that? He's going to make my feet like a hind or a deer's feet. And he will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instrument. It was a song that he wrote. Song. He wanted it coming from his insides. That's what most good songs are about. They tell a story. Good songs are from the heart. It's something that we've lived or experienced. Not like some of the songs today. Three chords and a lie. They lost the truck, they lost the dog, and they're making millions. He's going to make us walk on our hind feet, our secure feet, on all the things that are out there without worrying. It might be rough, though. It might be rough. It might be rocky. You might feel like you're slipping. But like Habakkuk, we need to realize that God knows and God cares. He has a plan, no matter what the circumstance or the situation looks like. And he's got that plan for you. See, it's not, we always think of somebody else. That guy's life is like that because he's a really super Christian. You're a super Christian. You're a super Christian. In God's eyes, he knows what you're capable of. And he's going to do it one way or the other. So, Father God, thank you. Thank you for the good times. There's nothing like it, Father. When this world doesn't come against us, when circumstance and situation go our way, Lord, and everything's fine, we praise you. We love you. Help us to love you exactly like that when the bottom falls out, when there is no herds in the stalls, when there is no crop in the field, when there might not be anything that looks of any good, Lord. May we yet praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you haven't been saved yet, today's your day. Today, not tomorrow. If you know that you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, I would beg you, don't leave the church house without asking someone, if not Seth, Ted, Craig, someone to pray with you. Not for you. Oh, pray that I get this job. That's great. God tells us we have not because we ask not. But pray if you're not saved today before you leave this house, because there's so much more coming to our lives that the only way we'll stand is through our Lord. So let's worship.